I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Okay, we're going to start off this podcast with a question from chat. Booble asks, important question, how do you eat Skittles? A handful at a time or one at a time by color?
I don't actually do the by color thing, but sometimes I do love to throw like two in it at a time and crush them with my back molars. That is like my equivalent of a fidget spinner.
Yeah, the thing about Skittles, the thing about Skittles too is the texture. And so like if you get that crunch with the two specifically, it feels a certain way. Yeah. I know what you mean, man.
See, I treat them like sunflower seeds where you throw a mouthful in and you just peel one off at a time to chomp on the other side.
Also a good play. If you're peeling one off at a time, you can go full on monster mouth. Yeah. But yeah, the people that throw them all in and mash it up. Though I will say,
it's too much flavor at once. I was thinking that with your thing, Ski. That's too much flavor in your mouth at once. You can't do that many.
But with a Skittle. So all Fruit Loops are the same flavor. Like that's a fact that we all know.
I mean,
with Skittles though, is the flavoring just in the shell? Because I feel like I've found that I've put them in my mouth and sucked it off the shell, and then the white little grainy inside is. I feel like it all tastes the same. Am I wrong?
I can't confirm or deny that because when you eat them, like by the time you get to that inner part, you have so much flavor in your mouth from whatever it's coming from that you can't tell the difference. So you're probably right. I don't know though.
I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna say the center is a nothing flavor.
It's a generic, like bland.
Yes. It's just sugar.
Yeah.
Is all it is.
Huge,
it's just the shell.
Huge allegation we're making right now against Big Skittle. Yeah, we'll see.
Though I will say, like, sometimes if I'm driving and I'm tired, I'll throw the whole load in and like suck it and just like a thing, like a dipper.
Yeah.
We'll
just leave it in there.
A little chaw. Yeah. Let those juices marinate.
Yeah. I mean, none of this is real for King right now because of that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's worth it. Well worth it.
Yeah. It's all veneers.
Yeah. What do you think? What's worse in your mouth? Just, you know, decades of dip right there, or if you did decades of Skittles right there?
Honestly, Skittles
right?
It's yeah. Skittles.
So Skittles, Skittles. Would, Skittles would take out the teeth. The dip would take out the rest of it.
Sure. Like of course, we're talking like cancer-wise, of course, dip is worse. But sugar-wise, like my dad used to be like a public speaker guy for like at-risk middle or inner city schools and stuff. And so he had to talk. His voice was his muse, and he would throw it when he would go to sleep. He would throw in sore throat lozenge things, and he'd put it in the same spot and just ate the fuck out of his teeth. But that's just, you know, part of the sacrifice, I suppose.
They're sugar, man. Those things are sugar too. People don't think about that.
Everything's sugar, right?
Big throat lozenge doesn't want you to know that. Yep.
Big halls over here.
What about M&Ms? How do we treat M&Ms? Are they more, because they're chocolate, way less flavor, but do you throw a bunch in your mouth at once, or do you go one or two at a time?
I mean, only psychopaths eat just straight M&Ms. If you're not getting peanut or peanut butter, I don't know who you are.
Wow.
I think Mike died. I absolutely.
You eat straight M&Ms all the time?
Not all the time, but yes, I absolutely do. I eat the other kinds too. I have had an M&M problem in my life. So back in the day,
is it bent?
What are we talking about? Can you not hear us? Oh, he all of a sudden can't hear us. Okay, cool. So at one point, I worked as a delivery driver. And I used to keep quarters in my car, and I would go to restaurants and bring out my quarters to the ones I knew had M&M vending machines. That's how big into M&Ms I used to be. So I would eat M&Ms. If they're the peanuts, you go one at a time. If they're the little ones, you do a few. Yeah. Yeah, you break them in half. You absolutely break them in half with your teeth. Yeah, Okay.
Yeah.
Glad we're on the same page. King, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. Did you lose us there for a minute?
I did. I think the cord in my mic is bent all of a sudden a little too much.
You missed my riveting M&M's anecdote.
Well, you brought quarters, I bet, when you were a delivery driver.
I sure did. Yeah. 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 You remember the company that was for it.
Pony Express.
That no longer exists.
They were really ahead of their time.
They sure were. Yep. They delivered beer and wine before anybody was even thinking of that.
It took COVID for the rest of the world to do that.
Yeah, it did. Booble says he's a Mike and Ike guy.
Oh, I love Mike and Ike's.
Yeah.
Bring back, was it Sherry and Bub?
Sherry and Bub, yeah.
Sherry and Bub, yeah. So good.
Big time. Big time candy talk we're having right now. This is high.
I love hot tamales too, but I don't like the extreme fireball with sunglasses logo they do.
Nope.
I just want the happy sun with a couple cacti and some mountains in the back.
No.
That's what I grew up
on. That sun's shredding gnar now. That's for sure.
I don't want anything.
That sun is doing meth now. That sun on the hot tamale box is too extreme.
Yes.
It started off at the X Games, but my it started doing too much hard drugs and got kicked off the tour.
My guy, there's a level of extreme and you went over the top. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, hot tamale. I did not like those candies.
Oh, Cuisinart, what at a all. Take.
So yeah, welcome to the podcast, everybody. Oregon playing Washington at the moment. I'm Alex. He's King. He's Ski.
Rebound.
The Twitter handles
Oregon playing Washington. That should end well for the Ducks.
Yeah, close game against Washington. No way that's going to go poorly.
Yeah. By three, at least.
So, let's see. I'm going to give some handles. So, Twitter handles are on the picture. You can find those there. Find us on Twitch, twitch.tv/abrog87. We're doing the podcast live on there right now. If you want to, join the chat. Looking at you, Kurt Coward. Get in the chat. It's a good time. Sorry, Kurt made a comment about a correction that happened. He tried to correct us with something that was corrected live during the podcast last week by Booble in the chat. So I'm like,
I will say in the last week, some of these like Facebook comments have been kind of rude between Kurt and Big Chris.
Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah, I know. They're very aggressive with us.
He was so aggressive.
They think they can talk to us a certain way, probably because of how this podcast is. But
you dipshits are going to besmirch Bill Murray. What the fuck are you talking about, man?
You don't know me. You can't talk to me like that.
Rude.
Rude.
It was the holiday season, too. And everyone was so rude to us.
I know. I'm pretty sure that was like Christmas Day he was dialing us up.
Literally December has been the meanest month online for me ever. Between the Pac-12 championship game, Big Chris and Kurt just calling us dipshits and losers and nincompoops or whatever he said. It was hurtful.
Yeah. And
I don't even bring up the Chiefs. Ooh.
Well, hey, they won their last game. Just saying.
They did.
Three seed.
So twitch.tv/abrog87 if you want to get in the chat. Join our Discord as well. Sports Brewery in the Discord. It's a fun place. Also, you can find those streams if you miss them on YouTube. Just search for Sports Brewery there, and I upload them there. So you can, if you miss them, you can watch them. I don't know why you'd be listening to this and then be like, oh, I really want to watch the podcast after listening to it, but, you know, whatever. Figured I'd put it out there. Movie this week. Again, it's free for all month. That's not a theme.
Yes.
Sort of say we went back to free for all. It's King's movie this week. It is Saltburn. It's on Prime. Came out 23. It's on Prime. Saltburn.
I wish I had salt thrown in my eye instead of watching.
I can take care of that for you if you want.
I mean, you should have done that. You should have done that for the 2.5 hours. Instead, I watched that
2.5 hour movie. It's on Prime. Go ahead and watch it. Listen to us talk about it. It has a twist. It's not a Shyamalan movie, but it's got a twist. So, yeah. Let's see. Where should we start with sports? I mean, Oregon played Liberty. We should probably talk about Liberty Biberty. It was a very thorough ass whooping by Oregon. So again, it was one of those situations where the like what King says all the time, the other team is allowed to coach and play and try hard.
They can try,
and they always do in the first quarter. And Liberty did, and then Oregon blew them away because Oregon's
Jamie Chadwell's paid millions of dollars to script drives in the first quarter. Yes. And he did. He scripted one.
Yep, and it worked.
It did. Hey,
they got a touchdown. Cool. But that is all Liberty did the entire game, because Oregon is much, much more talented than Liberty is, and frankly, those two teams should not have been playing each other at all, let alone in a Fiesta Bowl. But some cool things happened in the game, I guess. You know, Bo Nix did end up setting the record for completion percentage, so he broke Mac Jones' record for completion percentage, NCAA record. Also set Oregon records for single season passing yards and touchdowns. Tez Johnson set the Oregon record for catches in a season. So that's cool, I guess. I think most of us going into this game were like, yeah, Oregon's going to win by a lot. Can Bo Nix break the completion percentage record? Who's all going to come back after this game? That was pretty much it, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yes. And I mean, this one kind of hurt a little bit seeing Bucky run for like a buck 20 and looked better, much healthier. And then kind of just because they had nothing to, you know, who cared about this game? They kind of opened the script up more. It would have been nice to see that, you know, because what was it? Tez had like three or four catches in the Pac-12 championship game. I don't think it was that many. It was just like, where was this against Washington?
Well, Washington's defense is better.
I mean, yes.
Yes.
Relatively,
making the attempts for it.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the numbers Tez finished with, it's like, how is it possible that none of that happened against Washington? Isn't that wild? Like,
he's the number two also. I mean,
the fact that they didn't have Franklin, I think was a good thing because now, I mean, Bo's not. Am I here? Okay.
Here.
All right, I'm here. Good. Everything else froze in my end. Okay, cool. So now we can see what Tez and Holden and Ferguson are going to look like next year. And Bryant as well, by the way. But now we see what that's going to look like next year. And maybe they don't need Franklin as much as we think they do. They probably, I mean, it's nice to have an elite guy against good teams. Liberty's not a good team. But fucking A, they got a lot of talent at wide receiver, and they're getting more too. Dickey's healthy now. They're getting recruits in. They might get that A&M kid. It's like shit.
One of my favorite things about the postmortem of the Fiesta Bowl, when you know after people are like whatever, good season, blah blah blah, and you get to that point where you start critiquing things, is where people were like, I don't know, man. Jerion Dickey had that catch. And did you see the next play? Lined up, he didn't sell the run. He did not try hard enough.
I did see that.
I think he's good. He's transferring. Lazy bum, not worth the scholarship.
It was an 80% chance he just didn't know what the play was. Also, he got out there late. It was like the ball was getting snapped right when he got there. I don't know if he knew the play.
No, I was just reading stuff. We're like, this is a bad sign. You can't have that kind of behavior, guys.
The guy played one quarter of football this whole year.
Don't try their hardest all the time. Like I gotta be honest with you. I hate to be the one to tell you that, but in baseball, when guys ground out in the top of the third for the third out, sometimes they just peel off to the dugout. it's cool in middle school to back up the center fielder on a pop fly. Watch a big major league game. It really doesn't happen. Please stop with the fake hustle love.
Everybody wants their kid to be a try hard.
I don't. I hate
but
try
no,
hard.
But nobody actually wants it. You know,
oh, like
nobody
I hate
actually wants
fake,
it.
fake hustle is one of those things that just drives me insane. And I'm not saying that what Dickie did or didn't do, but he could have done, was fake hustle per se. But there's so many times where there's just runs where the receivers just, they just don't do anything. It's fine.
Especially like a pitch to the opposite side of the field.
Opposite side. Like, take, it's like load management within the game. It's fine. Yeah. Now, like what George Pickens did for the Steelers 2 weeks ago.
I think
where he didn't block in the goal line on a run or a pass, whatever it was. Okay, you can dissect that. A run to the opposite side of the field. What's he going to do?
Only
run a wheel route? Doesn't matter.
Only truly elite teams do all of that try-hard blocking. I hate it. That would be the San Francisco 49ers. They do a lot of that. But only because they are called out in the media when they don't.
Like, but not against the Ravens.
Against the Ravens. Ain't nobody blocking the Ravens anyways. So what
do you hate more? Do you hate the wide receiver blocking the guy 20 yards downfield? Or the guy that grounds out the third and runs through the bag.
Run through the bag when there's no reason to. It's so pointless. That one, fake hustle in baseball really bothers me.
Yeah. Because how often does real hustle have to happen in baseball? You know?
Now, like, almost never.
Never.
Maybe back when David Eckstein and Ozzie Smith were, you know, out there. But the way the game is played now in baseball, I don't need you sprinting to first and tear a quad just so you look good. Like, no one cares.
Ozzie Smith was the biggest faker ever, man. He used to do all those backflips and stuff just to make people think he was trying hard. He wasn't trying hard.
The wizard.
Get out of here. Gimmick.
He hit like 218. Shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Gimmick. Bum.
Cardinals fans are racist.
Much higher than 218.
Oh, yeah. Look up Ozzie Smith's career batting average.
I'm looking up Ozzie.
Bet you wasn't even 250.
I have to let you besmirch him hitting 218.
Oh, you're a big Ozzie Smith fan all of a sudden.
I know. I love Ski just like...
You're making him Tony Gwynn and George Brett or something. Actually, I think Brett's average wasn't that good.
Ski no ended this bit quick.
262 hitter.
Okay, he's a 262 hitter. He made the Hall of Fame by hitting singles.
Take a guess at his... I mean, how many years did he play? He played 19 seasons.
Compiler.
How many homers did
he hit? Compiler!
19 seasons.
38.
Close. 28.
The Hall of Super Average. Super average.
Oh, we should have seen him on that dribbler up the middle. He can turn a double play like no one else.
I mean, clearly you forget that monster 1985 season where he hits six bombs. I mean, who forgets that?
Monster.
You want to hear a bold statement?
He's juicing.
So Ozzie Smith played most of his career in St. Louis, right?
Correct.
Bush Stadium 2.
Padres, I think he started out with it, but then, yeah.
I know, but, you know, his prime was a Cardinal.
Yeah.
And they played on turf. And he turned a lot of double plays and made cool plays because back in those days, turf was just cement painted green. If Ozzie Smith played on grass his entire career, not a Hall of Famer.
He won 13 straight gold gloves.
It's pretty easy when everything is a fucking dot to you because you're playing on cement and you just throw someone out at first. You don't have to make any plays. Overrated.
Every time you throw somebody out at first, you got to do like two double black flips. And if you're gonna create yourself a Hall of Famer, I guess that's how you do it, right?
Give me Willie McGee over Ozzie Smith every day of the week.
You could be Jim Edmonds and have to put yourself in bad position to have to dive for every ball.
That's true. It's true. He did. He intentionally got bad jumps.
Yep. Or Cespedes. Remember Cespedes?
This is some good Fiesta Bowl talk, guys.
Yeah. Purposely tank brown balls so we could throw guys out.
You love it.
Yeah. Same with Ichiro.
And Ichiro. And
Ichiro wouldn't steal bases because it hurt his body. Just wanted to hit singles. just hit leadoff singles.
Whoa.
What a dumb sport. What a dumb time. All losers.
Man.
Ichiro, you're a loser.
I was with you until you started going after Ichiro, man. Our podcast
overrated. Brett Boone was the better player of the year. Ichiro won the MVP by far.
Podcast is going to get blown up here real soon.
2001 MVP should have been Brett Boone.
I mean,
we gave it to enough juicers. Who cares?
Right. I mean, he's one of the golden child of juicing. Him and Brady Anderson, two that just—I think their highest in the season was like 20. Then they dropped like 55. Some bullshit.
Booble says Jeff Blauser is better than Ozzie Smith.
Easy,
yeah,
not even a question.
I mean, Rafael Belliard. I think he might have hit like 5 career bombs.
Raffy Belliard.
I love you dropping Raffy Belliard stats off the top of your head too. That's great. Yeah, good.
I remember he had the longest run in between home runs. It was like 7 years. Something just absurd.
Good. You're right, Ken. Good Fiesta Bowl talk.
It is.
So Oregon did win the
Fiesta. We're talking Matt Berryhill breaking his ankle for the Braves, the Bravos.
Oregon did win the Fiesta Bowl, which is at least a cool trophy. So
it is a very cool trophy.
Yeah. So Oregon gets a cool trophy out of it, and that's what we're all about here. Rings, trophies, give me all of them. Yep.
CBI banners. I mean,
yeah, banners.
And we kind of talked about this in the lead up to it, but what a just the draw. Like, it's one thing if you're like if Wazoo played in the field, and I'm not trying to take a shot at Wazoo, Oregon State, Cal, Arizona State. If they played in this Fiesta, they had the exact same season as Oregon, played in this Fiesta Bowl against Liberty, they'd be jacked. They'd have fans. There'd be juice. It just was such a letdown, not only because we all think Oregon could have won a game in the CFP, maybe two. Okay, but they lost, so they didn't. But it was because they had to play Liberty. They were just the team that got stuck with the group of five. And if there was a controversy, SMU and Liberty, we wouldn't give a shit about SMU either. Like, it was just blech from the very beginning. And I was hoping that Liberty would be so excited that they would send 30,000 fans, you know, like some of the smaller schools can do when they get in these games, but they didn't either. And it was just started at 10 in the morning. We knew Oregon was going to win like 50-10. It just was what it was. You turn it on, there's 45,000 people in a 62,000 seat stadium. It was just barf. And I feel bad. Like I think it's cool that a lot of the players opted in and played, and the ones that opted out went to the game, you know, blah, blah, blah. Good for them. But it was just, I was watching it and just didn't care.
I mean, do you think Georgia fans are in the same situation as us, having to play Florida State there and just absolutely nuke them? I mean, that was less of a game than the Ducks game was.
Yeah, it was just.
Did you say SMU was up for the Fiesta Bowl?
Yes, it was. It was. Everyone thought like the pundits thought SMU should have gotten the spot, but they gave it to Liberty because they were undefeated is basically what they said.
SMU lost to Boston College.
But that was the funny thing is they rewarded Liberty for being undefeated, and they told FSU, doesn't matter. They're undefeated. Like slightly higher stakes, you know, CFP versus New Year's Six.
Right.
But their rationale was just funny.
Total wins next year for FSU with DJU at the helm.
9.5 over under.
I don't know their schedule, but
I mean it's the ACC, so it's not that good.
No, it's not.
Yeah, they're guaranteed at least 9, right?
Probably.
If their defense comes back, their defense will win them half the games just right off the bat.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do too much, I guess is the point. I'm glad you mentioned the crowd, by the way, because did you notice the broadcast like during Liberty's first drive? It was excessively loud. Like,
yes.
Every time they made, like, when they got a first down, It was the loudest I've ever heard a football game before. And then it sort of like evened out as the game went on. So like, remember during COVID when they would have those like Premier League games with the fake crowd noise being pumped through?
Yeah, it was
the
bad.
Weirdest thing ever. And that's what it felt like in the Fiesta Bowl. I was like, what is going on? I'm not going to watch this game if like I'm going to mute it and turn on like Jerry Allen or something if it's going to be like this. And luckily they like evened it out, but it was fucking bizarre.
I'm
glad I'm not the only one who noticed that. It was weird.
I don't remember those EPL games where they pumped in the crowd noise.
It was really bad.
Yeah,
they would do the chants and
did they mix in enough racism to make it real? Or?
The announcers did throw banana peels at the black players.
Oh, did they? Right, so. They did that. So try to keep it how it was before the pandemic.
Yes, and after. Wait. Never change. Never change, England. You sucky country.
My reading glasses are over there. I was about to well actually you because that's when they did the when they all took a knee to stand against racism. they made sure to start.
That's worked out, right?
They made sure to start that with no fans in the stands. By the way,
they would have gotten murdered on the pitch, man.
Yeah, it's a business decision. Not bad. Let's see. Any other takes on the Fiesta Bowl? Curtain calls for Bo. Curtain call for Bucky, which might mean Bucky is indeed actually going to try to go to the NFL draft. So you know
he should just.
We'll
see where he grades out.
It's another deal where he's not going to get graded out higher next year.
That's my thing.
So, like, you know, whatever. I read one of those, like, insider ESPN articles where the dude graded Bucky as, like, a third-round pick, which seems high, but he's also productive, and people can't tackle him. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but then you get to the new...
He can catch the ball.
He can.
That's his
But you get to a new normal now to where he might make more next year in NIL than he could his entire NFL career. He could obviously, you know, become, you know, I could see him maybe as a third down back somewhere or injury puts him as a backup, but I don't see him, you know, getting that. I mean, there's no real big paydays for running backs anyway right now. He's not going to make a ton over his career.
No, but I mean, if he tears an ACL next year.
Yeah, at least he banks a mil or whatever his NIL
maybe.
Would be.
Maybe.
Yeah, go play in the CFL and make, you know, 200K.
I think running backs, the days of them playing 4 years, if they're, you know, all conference level or just they're just gone.
Yep. And from Oregon's perspective, they have Whittington coming back. They're good at running back next year, too. So it's like it's not like he's leaving the cupboard empty or anything with the Ducks either. So
can I give a hot running back take?
Go for it.
James should start over Whittington.
Yes.
As much shit as we talked about Jordan James, like
last year.
Yeah.
And again, it wasn't knocks on James. It was that he just had every meaningful touch that just didn't make
inside
sense.
The five or on fourth and one.
Exactly. It just he was fine. He was a fine running back last year. It was just. Why you use your workhorse that got you there in those important times.
He fucking averaged like 9 yards a carry this year.
He was very good.
He's very good. The offensive line was also very good, to be fair. But yeah. Yeah, no, Oregon's kind of set on offense next year. I think we talked about it last week too. Like Oregon's gonna be really good on offense next year.
I sent you that one.
Powers,
you know,
so Powers Johnson didn't play in the bowl game. His replacement was like a freshman, and
yeah, Poncho.
He played really good too.
Poncho.
You wouldn't know it if you listened to James Crepia do the Fiesta Bowl recap, though.
Why would anybody listen to James Crepia say anything at all ever?
a lot of floaters, a lot of knuckleballs. I'm not saying he had to throw everything as a fastball, but a lot of balls that won't work in the Big Ten. Just let you know, big problem heading into the spring.
It's so weird listening to him when he does his stuff with Tannen, because he will not let Tannen talk.
He talks over him.
Oh my god!
Every single time. I almost listen to it now just to hear him drown him. And it's not a knock against Tannen. It's not what I'm trying to do. It's just so funny to hear Tannen be like, it was a couple of weeks ago. He's like, oh, yeah, Jackson Powers Johnson won the Remington Award, or whatever the hell award he won for the best
Remington, in the country. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you know, he barely played, you know, as a freshman and rotated a lot last year. And as a junior, he won it. Who could have seen that coming? And Kreppy just crushed him for like 7 straight minutes. I saw that coming. Everyone should have seen that coming. How did you not see that coming?
He was like,
he didn't fucking play center until this year, you idiot.
And I was like, oh, I love how insufferable this guy is. I think he has good football opinions, but God, he's insufferable.
And it's weird hearing him with another person, too, because he literally talks as if he's alone. Like, he's having a conversation with himself. And like the other person isn't there. So Tana will like try to jump in and ask a question and he'll just be like, hey, and by the way, blah, blah, blah. It's like, holy shit. I can't imagine sitting in that studio watching that happen. Like Steve's super professional and stuff, but just seeing the frustration like would be
if you were working, if you were working the board still, would you just mute Crepia's mic at least to give Tana at least a second to get in there?
Oh, is that what? That's producer work right there, cutting people off. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to have like some off mic discussions. Hey, guys, just so you know, this doesn't sound good. Oh, boy. Okay. So nothing else with the Fiesta Bowl. Nothing else with Duck football, I guess. I mean, we did have some official announcements of guys coming back. So Tez and Holden said they're coming back. Gary Bryant Jr.'s joining them, obviously. Just so that's the receiver core with the new guys too. Bassa said he's coming back, and Tysheem Johnson said he's coming back. So, and we're waiting on Birch at the moment. I think that's the other big one.
Ferguson,
Birch, and Ferguson. Sounds like Ferguson's not coming back.
Really,
he's not a school guy.
He's got NFL tight end body. Yeah,
it just sounds like he's a guy who's like, I've been here 3 years. I don't like school, which is this is not me doing a knock. And I think he has a fiance or something I read, and they're okay with just moving on and trying the next step in life,
doing the work. Yeah,
but that's just recruiting board stuff. So I could be 1,000% wrong.
Okay. I mean, they got the Sadiq guy who scored a touchdown in the bowl game, who's like very athletic and good. They've had good recruiting at tight end too last few years. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think Herbert. Yeah, I can't say Sadiq is better than Ferguson next year, but I don't think the drop off will be.
Yeah, I mean Herbert too, right? Herbert wasn't a senior, was he?
No, he's coming back.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
he's definitely coming back. He's yeah.
No, I, he's I thought he was. I literally thought he was graduating, but yeah, okay. Yeah, again, Oregon, fine on offense. And, you know, like, they've been recruiting like crazy on defense, too, so.
Which doesn't matter, according to Aaron Fenders.
Does not matter. Let's see. Did you see that there's a Steamboat Willie movie? We could save that for the movie podcast if we want to, but I figured everybody would want to hear about it. So they're saying it's Mickey Mouse coming out of public domain, but it's actually Steamboat Willie. It's not actually Mickey Mouse. So
yeah, that's technically it's not Mickey Mouse, even though it is Mickey Mouse, but it's not.
Yeah.
So it's good.
So it's gonna look like Mickey Mouse, like Winnie the Pooh looked like Winnie the Pooh in the Winnie the Pooh movie. Yeah. Pooh, blood and honey. Yeah.
Oh man.
You don't want
can't blood, wait for the sequel.
Don't want blood or honey and poo. Let me just. All right, that's it. I thought you want to talk about that. Apparently you do.
No.
The director of it directed a live action Grinch movie and a live action Powerpuff Girls movie. So that's what we can look forward to with Steamboat Willie.
He directed the Grinch movie, the one with Jim Carrey?
Nope. It's called The Mean One, which check out the cover of that one. It's not the Jim Carrey one. I think that was Ron Howard.
That's why I was like, oh man, they got a good director in here. It's got to be gold, right?
It's called The Mean One. Look it up. You will be disappointed. Okay, so shall we get? I mean, we could talk about this. Go ahead.
Tagline for it: slashing through the snow. There you go.
There you go. That's what we can look forward to: is the Steamboat Willie movie. Should we talk about the semifinals at all?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
We all just feeling bad because Washington.
Yeah. Cool. At least Oregon beat Washington on the hard court tonight.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. By the way, update, Oregon won 76-74. So.
Eat shit, Washington. We own you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even though I think you swept them in basketball last year, too, which is way weirder than anything you did in football. Ooh. Eat shit, Frank Kepnong, you traitor. You loser.
Fucking traitor.
Traitor. I mean that. I'm spelling that with a D, you traitor. The D in traitor. Sands where Ducks own you, Frank. Even though you're 1-2 against, or you're 2-1 against them, whatever. We take victories where we can get them now, as we're a sad, pathetic fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wins where you can get them.
Can I just say, so someone in the Discord sent a link of Brett McMurphy sending in his final AP vote.
Sure.
You know, before the final, he's going to have Washington or Michigan number one, number two. Watch Texas all year. Or even on Monday and was like, yeah, they're the third best team in the country.
I don't know, but the hype was there all season as like they were the third best team. I didn't see it.
Well, I mean, I know they beat, you know, they beat Alabama by 10 in Tuscaloosa in September. That's not, you cannot discount that. But man, the Big 12 stunk. Big 12 was bad. Like, beating Oklahoma State by 30 or whatever it was in the Big 12 championship game, not like really not impressive. And the thing is if Georgia had just beaten Alabama, Texas is not getting into the playoff.
Yeah.
But because Alabama won the SEC in an upset, they had to put Texas in. They did not. I think Texas jumped from 7-3 in the final, like the final poll to like the official CF people. They're much closer to the seventh best team in the country than the third best team. Like, I don't think Oregon's beating Georgia. I think they could beat Alabama. I think they could beat Michigan. I would feel very confident on a neutral field playing Texas. I don't think Quinn Ewers is that good.
No, no. I mean, after all the game we've seen so far, Georgia's clearly the third best team.
It might be. To be favored.
They could easily beat Michigan or Washington with ease.
Yeah, Nutsian mentions that Oregon's quarterback beat Texas this year.
It's true.
It's true.
Yep. So
the Horn Killer.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the Rose Bowl was kind of ugly. Which, okay, that's just kind of how Michigan wants to play.
Just so how Michigan plays. That's all.
I'm just not really going to dock them on that. And the Sugar Bowl was, you know, it was fun. Penix threw a lot of dimes. Texas, Lord knows why they only ran the ball like 18 times while they were averaging like 9 yards a carry. And it's not like they busted a 90-yarder to skew those numbers. It was just they kept getting 9 yards a carry.
They're two running backs. Both had 9 rushes each and 64 yards and 59 yards.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I don't know. It was weird and Christ, Quinn Ewers. This is what pisses me off about Washington this year is they're just so God. They just all the breaks go their way. That last throw by Ewers, he like basically punted it in the air. Where if that's UW doing it, it's a dart back shoulder and it's an easy touchdown. Like he just completely misread the throw he should make. Where he threw it, and just from where I was sitting, then he throws it, and the camera pans, and you're like, that's an opportunity. Holy shit. Oh, and then you just see the ball keep going up and up like it's a rainbow, and you're like, that's no, like, you kind of missed your window there, bud. Even before it was, you know, the last 25% of the way there, you just knew it wasn't going to happen. And the guy shows a dart to the back, to the pylon. Texas wins. And that, and easy, Washington easy, is just
easily defended. Really yeah. easy play.
Oh, yeah. The that Washington guy swatted, jumped up.
Midair like Kevin Garnett blocked shots. He did. Yeah, send it to the yeah. fucking fifth row.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's just, it's so frustrating. So, and, who do you guys think wins on Monday?
I think Washington. I mean, we're gonna have picks later, right? We're gonna.
I mean, there's no reason. We might as well just.
You're right. But we should do it anyways. Just go through the motions. But I think Washington, man. Like I don't know why Washington runs any play other than a fade to Odunze. Like just run it every play. Like Penix's fade is the most beautiful throw I've ever seen, I think. Like the rainbow, like his placement of it is perfect every time. It's fucking maddening. I mean, we know this is Oregon people because we saw them utilize it against Oregon twice this year. The whole fucking game, man. Like that dude cannot throw a bad deep ball. It's unbelievable. And Odunze is so savvy at making corners go directions that they don't want to go and then catching a ball. Like, no, who stops that? Nobody. Well, nobody can stop
even him. even if it's not an absolute dime by Penix, Odunze will go get it. That's what makes him an elite level.
Yeah, man. Like they're so good. They're so good at wide receiver. It's
I mean, it's why you have got, you know, like Randy Moss in his prime. Just put it in his vicinity and he's coming down with it.
I think if Michigan's going to have a chance, it's going to have to be up front because we've seen people beat up Penix this year, and Michigan's really good up front. And so if they can get pressure and beat him up and make him go, you know, put his head in that hood thing again, like they can beat Washington. But man, like
the offense is really
impressive.
But we saw that in the first game, you know, the Ducks got a good amount of pressure on Penix. It had him flustered. But then DeBoer and the OC, they changed it up and they did a lot of quicker throws and running the ball more. I wouldn't be surprised if he changes it up again for this Michigan team. And I mean, this game, it's like you said, Michigan just wants to play in the mud and make the game ugly. UW, every game seems to be close and the bounces go their way. It's going to be a close game. So UW with 4.5 points is insane not to take.
I think the hard thing is not knowing how healthy Dylan Johnson will be, because like the curveball that Washington can do is they don't do it every game, but they did it against Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, and they did it against Texas, and they've done it a couple of other times. Like, who cares against USC, whatever, where once or twice a game, they will have that 11 play drive where they run the ball, seven of them. And it just eats up 8.5 minutes. And it's totally out of character. It's a total curveball. But they will eat up half a quarter plus and score a touchdown on a fade pass at the end. Or, you know, a 2-yard run sometimes with Dylan Johnson. But I do think it kind of hinges on him a little bit. And I know he's not going to be 100% healthy. No kidding. But if he's ineffective, I think Michigan will... But at this point, I'm just done doubting Washington. I feel like they're all year. You can make the argument that Michigan has been the best team in the nation. Yeah, you know, they've been number one forever, you know, whatever. Washington is just, they just feel charmed. And they're not charmed as in like a, you know, like last year, Oregon State was a charmed team. They weren't an elite team. They just got all the turnovers. They made the timely plays, blah, blah, blah. But Washington has elite playmakers, you know, and it's just, it's frustrating as fuck. And thank God their like 11 or 12 sixth-year players are finally fucking graduating. Pharmacies, you know, companies, right-wing grifters, and Washington football. No one has benefited more from COVID. It's fucking insane. They meant like Devin Culp made like an 8-yard catch. They're like, oh yeah, he's the 13th six-year player who plays on the roster. I mean, people make fun of Bo Nix for being old. They have like 11 or 12 players who were playing college football while Bo Nix was still in high school. It's too old. It's too old. Like fucking these guys are all older than Trae Young. It's just bizarre how old some of these guys are.
I am not
going to. And that's sour grapes completely, like from my aspect. But
1,000%.
Some of these guys are like they're just like ZTF. He looks old. I think he's overrated as fuck, but he's 26 years old. That is a massive advantage. And he has 10 more of those guys on his team. And one of them plays the most important position in the sport.
I'm not going to miss any of those guys. If I never see Odunze again, I will be a happy man. I'm over watching him make those ridiculous fucking catches and be unstoppable. I'm done. Unless he gets drafted by the 49ers, then that'll be okay. Do you think he'd reach the end of the first round? Probably not, huh? He's probably like a...
Well, you might as well take a Dunze if you're going to let like Ayuk walk.
He's probably like a 7 to 15 draft pick, I would think.
Ayuk's going to look real nice in Kansas City red here next year.
Kansas City's going to pay a wide receiver. All right, cool.
They're finding out now. You're going to have to.
As if KC's not going to be the ones that drafting Odunze. They ain't gonna pay a free agent wide receiver. They would have done that with Tyreek.
Because they've been hitting on all their wide receiver draft picks here.
WCP says Odunze would look good in KC. So. Let's do our lines. Okay. I mean, we already picked the Natty, but
we lost King for a second there.
All right.
Talk about your Niners while he's fiddling around.
Talk about my Niners. What do you want me to talk about?
I don't know. They're sitting everyone. They're gonna get the rust. And they're gonna lose on first round.
You give me the topic because there's so many things that I could talk about. I mean, how about like there's 13 Pro Bowl starters or something for them? Can you hear us now, King?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I was about to fill time and talk about the 49ers, but I don't necessarily want to do that. So let's do lines. How about that?
Well, how about Sam Darnold's going to light it up on Sunday and they're going to be like, should Brock Purdy be starting over Sam Darnold? Should he?
I forget who Darnold's playing against.
It's Carson Wentz, I think.
Wentz, that was it.
Yeah, it's Wentz. Yeah.
Darnold versus Wentz on Sunday.
What fucking team is Wentz on?
The Rams.
The Rams, yeah, he's a backup.
Yeah,
I think they signed him 3 weeks ago, a month ago. I think I don't think he's been to that.
So mark my words, Carson Wentz owns the 49ers. Absolutely owns them. Beat them with the Eagles. Beat them with the Colts. I think right, Ski. Yeah. Beat them as a starter of both of those teams. This is going to be number three. You watch. Niners aren't playing anybody. Carson Wentz about to go 3-0 against them with three different teams. Yeah. All right. Let's do lines, huh? Lines everywhere.
We're going through the motions because it's already set. Ski and I chased last week and it was really bad because we were chasing going against 6 thought lines.
Yeah, we're still live, King, because I don't know if you know, but the national championship game is worth 17 points. So I'm live here.
Double your money. Split the cards.
Oh, yeah. It chasing did not equal goodness for me and King.
Sure did not.
And you were 7-3. We were both 2-8. It's a bloodbath.
I even hit
my
star pick. Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. Yeah.
So what are
the standings right now? Like total.
You're
standings.
In first.
Yeah, like the overall score or whatever.
You have 84 points. King is in second with 73 points. I am in third with 68 points.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to not that it much. Is. Yeah. All right.
In this game, in the national, it's 4.5. I said it earlier.
Yep. So Michigan's a 4.5 favorite.
Okay. 4.5 favorite.
Washington for me. Star pick.
Michigan star pick. Go Big Blue.
Michigan 17 star pick.
Oh no! Say that again. How many star picks?
17.
I actually think UW covers. I think they might win. There's a good chance they win the game, but I think they at least cover here. But I am shocked that, like I said, Michigan just wants to fucking muck up games. This total's at like 55. I know UW's had a good offense, but they're going to want to just run the ball with Corum and kill clock. And
that sounds right, though, because isn't that what they were against Alabama? I mean, it's pretty. It was around 55, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, somewhere around there. Yeah,
Washington's got a lot better offense. It might be low, if you ask me. I don't know. McCarthy's a pile, so who knows?
He stinks.
He does stink.
He stinks.
He like I really don't understand the logic of people saying he's going to be a solid like first round NFL draft pick. I don't see it at all. It's really really weird to me, but.
Hey, speaking of stinks, do you remember what my fantasy football name was?
I don't.
Were you Sweet Meteor of Death?
No, I was This Team Stinks.
This Team Stinks.
Hey, Alex, what did George Seifert say about the final week of fantasy football playoffs?
You can't win it, but you sure can lose it?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm sorry. We had some Tuesday weeks. We had the holidays. Hey. For about 5 weeks, I completely flubbed it. So I want to congratulate Mahomes alone for beating Cuppa Dubba Java. Koopa? Dubba Java? Cuppa? 142.91 to 138.66 to win the fantasy football national championship. Well, Super Bowl.
TSB
whatever you
fantasy
call it.
Champion.
The TSB, yeah. I mean, I apologize. I was bad the last 5 or 6 weeks. And by bad, I just didn't do it.
I didn't care. But at least one Mahomes got a W. Going to get a W here in the playoffs.
Oh, come on. You're a Colts fan. Get out of here.
Hey, going to make the playoffs here if we win.
We'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, make the playoffs.
Speaking of playoffs.
You guys throw a celebration and eat the shrimp and your clam sauce or whatever in Indianapolis over that. My Chiefs make the playoffs and we commit suicide because it's such a down year.
Yeah. Speaking of playoffs, like in the fantasy playoffs, that is when Purdy had his like 4 interception game. Like that's when the Niners play the Ravens. And then like McCaffrey got hurt in the other one afterwards or something. So it was just I have McCaffrey and Purdy on my TSB team. So it was.
Oh, is WCP Mahomes alone?
Must be.
I think so. Go to hell. You traded me Dante Dowdell. That guy stunk. I think that was his name.
He says
maybe
no.
That's the Oregon transfer.
WCP says no. That's not.
No.
Yeah. We got a lot of Mahomes people in this league. What's going on?
Apparently so. I guess if no one knows, I'll just claim that I'm Mahomes. I'm the champion.
Yeah, just call it yourself.
Eat shit, losers.
Terrible. Terrible. All right, let's do list. So our list this week comes from Chef Duck in the Discord. Again, Sports Brewery in the Discord if you're so inclined.
Show your face, Kurt, you coward.
You coward! Get in the chat while you're at it. Like and subscribe. Punch the bell. Top 3 ways to cope when UW wins the national championship game. Because that is going to be a bummer. I mean, for you guys more than me, I'm not really on Twitter, but UW fans going to be insufferable, and they're going to be for a long time.
Trust me, it doesn't take winning a national title for them to be insufferable.
I know. So think of the level it's going to be when they win the Natty this week.
In 2021, they were 4-8, and their whole thing was, oh, you only beat Washington by how much? Losers.
They lost to Montana a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was the same year they lost to Montana.
Yeah, man, like they've had a winless season, and now they're going to win a national championship, and all that stuff just goes away. It's a shame.
Here's an update you've missed, King. Apparently, I almost forgot that we did like a bowl pick'em league as well.
Oh yeah.
Do you know who won that?
No.
Some team with a shitty name. Roma Doomsday is burning.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. God, you actually won that, King. You won the bowl. You won the pick'em.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about that. I forgot to check. Yeah.
That's a great. either way. Okay, I'm going to try it a third time.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's
okay,
not bad.
Did you hear me any of those times I said that?
Every single time.
Okay,
weird. Yep, all three of them.
Everything froze on my end. Whatever, who cares? All right, let's do our list. Things to do when ways to cope when Washington wins an Natty. Somebody else start.
Well, I'll start because it's, you know, tried and true method for generations, and that's drinking alcohol. But not just any alcohol. I think you got to drink, like, you're going to need, like, grain alcohol. You're going to, like, you're going to really need to numb it with
something.
Gotta
get dirty. Gotta get nasty. I like it.
Just jet fuel in you.
Why not get some absinthe? That's like green or something, isn't it? Isn't that green? Yeah.
So it is green.
Drink some absinthe. How about that? All right. I'm going to do, my number three is going to be like an actual practical one for all of you. Delete social media.
I mean, I feel like mine was pretty practical as well, but I don't know.
Yeah, what were you trying to say? You're right. I just kind of brushed that aside because it wasn't. You really sideswiped him there, you asshole. What was that about? So, finally, let's get to a good one. Oh.
Yeah, like I said, I'll run in the street and kick a baby in the face. That's how you cope. It was like,
jeez.
I mean, that might feel good too.
Really took him out there. That was so rude.
Ski, that was my number one, dude. Come on.
That was your number one. I mean,
kicking a baby in the face.
New year, rude you. That was just brutal.
Go fuck yourself, Ski. All right.
My number three way to cope after Washington wins a national championship. Copenhagen Black.
Cope. Bourbon.
Cope.
Some bourbon.
I get it. I get it. It's cope. I get it. What's your two, Ski? Oh, wait. No, sorry. Three's in the chat. My bad. Booble says, listen to Jagged Little Pill on repeat. Why?
You out of now.
Jesus. That's fucking depressing. WCP says, drink 750 milliliters of something 80 proof. You are going to die. Nutian says, going to do shout while crying like the Villanova flute girl. Yeah, it's good.
You know that gif of the little black kid who's doing the sad, like, Fortnite dance in the kitchen? He's crying. Yeah. He's doing that was shout in the background is basically what I'm picturing.
Yeah. I picture that as well.
Yeah. Looks about right. All right, Ski.
All right, my number two, Google kind of stole it. Mine was to pump up a bunch of fucking emo music and just sit in darkness.
Because tonight will be the night that I forget college football.
You guys, your solutions are just to, like, sit in your depression. Like, just be depressed, live in it.
That's what you do.
Is that coping? I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. Like, acceptance? Are we talking about, like, stages
stage of grief are we in?
Yeah, exactly. We're in acceptance. Man, we're just jumping ahead. But that's fine. I like that for you. Let's see. My number two... Well, yeah, I was wondering which shoulder I was going to go with, like the angel on the shoulder, the demon on the shoulder. I'm going to go the demon, and I'm going to do hard drugs. Lots and lots of hard drugs. I mean, name your hard drug of choice.
Give me some crocodile.
Crocodile.
Wow.
What a shout from 2013.
Seriously, that's amazing.
I wonder if that still even exists.
No. No.
God, the pictures circulating online of people who had done that. Jesus. Woof. That's nasty stuff. All right. How about you, King?
My number two is pretty boring. Two 10 milligram edibles of marijuana and Lana Del Rey in the background.
So, like, every night for you?
No, I don't listen to Lana Del Rey. Christ, wouldn't be alive if I did. Shit's depressing as hell.
Do you do, like, a maybe a bottle of port with that? What's a Like a nice dessert wine? Does that go with?
No, you know, I'm too old. I'm too old to crossbreed at this point.
Can't cross.
No. But it made me sound like an uncle at Thanksgiving. Crossbreeders.
Dessert wine, edibles, and Lana Del Rey. That's an
easy on Newsmax.
Well, I don't think I didn't think a Zinfandel was, you know, appropriate for the edible. So yeah.
Just sit and watch some CNBC.
All right, turn on Fox News. There's the best way to cope.
There you go. Yeah. Let's see. Twos from the chat. Booble says, watch the Steve Bartman game again. Yeah, Cubs fan. WCP says, drink 750 milliliters of something 100 proof. Lincoln City says, watch Blazers versus Knicks on Root Plus and
I thought he was going to watch Blazers Lakers in 1999 or 2000. That's what Knicks on Root Plus. That's way worse, sir. That is way worse. Watching Jalen Brunson cook the city of Portland, unacceptable. Josh Hart revenge game.
Nutian says, order a Pac-12 pride shirt. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Back, he's got to back the pack.
Back the pack.
Oh, I thought he meant like a gay pride shirt. I was like, what do you have against the gays? Nutian?
Jeez, man. John Canzano did say Oregon fans should be rooting for Washington because of Northwest pride.
Get
that. John Canzano would say that.
No.
Get fucked, my dude. He knew he knew what he was doing when he said that. All right, so you're number one. Go ahead.
Yeah, my number one way to cope if UW wins the national championship, it's simple. Just stick your head in the oven. I mean, that's...
I do love those PSAs every winter.
I mean...
Remember, people, if it's cold out, don't turn your oven on broil and leave the oven open. Children might crawl in.
Well... Do that if UW wins. Just turn it on high. See what happens. Who cares?
Seems legit to me. My number one is belly flop into the Amazon slough and just sort of stay there for a while. Might as well. I mean,
breathe,
you might as,
just breathe it in.
You might as well just suffer and maybe you'll die. And that might be okay too.
Well, you can probably get your hard drugs at the same time with all the needles probably in there. And...
That's a good point. It's a good point. I do all three of my lists at once.
Yeah.
And my phone, because my phone breaks and my social media is no longer active. Yeah, there you go. All right, how about you?
My number one thing to do when Washington wins the national title to cope, log on to Twitter and tell Aaron Fentress he's a fucking loser from Portland who never went to North Carolina and isn't a Bulls fan and stop taking a victory lap because Mark Helfrich got fired because Mark Helfrich has never really been rehired because he was a bad coach and we hate you, Aaron Fentress, and you suck and we're glad you're not on the beat anymore.
Yeah, I support that.
Well, I mean, Didn't help her. Was he a USFL coach?
No, I don't think he's like Mike Riley.
Let's see. Number one's from the chat. Nutian says, donate to the Division Street NIL so we can buy better players. That's a good one, actually. I like that one. WCP says, smoke a few grams of dabs plus my number two or number three.
I'll do dabs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, Wouldn't Shatter be more...
Ski, do a dab. Ski.
I refuse.
Do a dab.
I refuse. Straight refuse.
We're going to sit here until you do one, so...
No, see, I got fucking Washington State, Oregon State on. I could sit here all night.
Look at that guy.
Rapid dab. There's nothing my kid
Boom
hates...
Clot.
There's nothing my kid hates more than when I do a dab.
The dab is not a good, yeah.
No, but holy shit, do I love to do it. Ski, give us one, man. Throw us a bone here, dude. What are you doing? You're tearing this podcast apart.
All right, good. Sink this podcast if you don't.
It's tearing up our heart when we're watching you refuse to do the dab, and that's on you. No matter how we ask.
He will not dab, not for me or you.
I should have started dabbing that.
You should have!
You wanted to. You wanted to.
I hit the timing of it.
When we hit the boom, 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 I could see it in your shoulders.
Oh. Everybody, come on, man.
Podcast, you don't understand.
You don't understand. Why Ski can't be Dabber.
If Dabby was around back then, they would 100% have been doing it.
Oh, they would have hit the dab so hard.
Oh, so hard.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Let's see. All right. There's more number ones I haven't gotten to yet. Let's see. So Lincoln City 69 says, I was thinking of something else,
nice.
But he's seconding yours, King. So he agrees with yours. Booble says, jam a Crest white strip in the tip.
Go on.
In the tip of his dick with an ice pick sticking in like vice grip. Hang it on a spike, fence bang it with a pipe wrench while I take my ball sack and flick it like a light switch.
And who said this?
Booble said this.
Oh, Booble.
Booble wrote
a
line,
guys. Said nutty in it. I was like, jeez, that came out of left field.
But yeah, Booble, that makes sense.
Yeah, as one does.
He also adds that Kurt is a coward and Ski is a coward. Coward.
I'll dab that.
Coward. Every time we say coward, we got to do a dab. Ski's a coward.
New rule.
All right, we need to leave. We need to stop doing this. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching.
I dab all night.
I know you literally could. That's why I'm saying it. It's movie on Sunday. Movie on Sunday is what is it again? Saltburn. Yeah, it's on Prime Video, so watch it. Listen to us talk about it on Sunday. Are we getting some dabs in here? We're bringing in dabs. Dog dab! Dog dab! We got dog dab! All right, bye. So stupid.